Welcome to Heartspeak Podcast, episode 289, Earth's Natural Healing Gifts.
Welcome to the Heartspeak Podcast, where valuable insights are shared that bypass the mind and resonate with the heart. Listen, open your heart, become inspired, find the joy and fulfillment that awaits when you follow your heart. And now, here's your host, Dr. Christine Page.
Well, hello there, wherever you are in the world. I hope you enjoyed the eclipse. We're moving forward in looking at two other events that are coming up now in April. One is Earth Day on the 22nd of April, and the other is this conjunction between Jupiter and Uranus, 16th to 26th of April, in Taurus, in this earthy Taurian energy. So really talking about the natural healing gifts. Not just that we can do to someone else, but how we can be healed by nature, by Mother Earth. And it was inspired by an article I was reading that came from 2017, mainly looking at an American audience and saying how many people spent so much time indoors rather than going outside. They've put the figure at between 80 and 90% of their week was indoors rather than outside. And they call this nature deficient syndrome or disorder. And there are now many ecotherapists who will encourage you to go outside. But, you know, since 2017, we've had the pandemic and more people felt the need to stay indoors. In fact, we're told to stay indoors, don't communicate or connect with nature. And if I am out walking, and I have the privilege of walking and hiking out here in the Sandia Mountains, I'll often meet people who have got their earbuds in or are running but not necessarily connecting to the earth. That's maybe my perception. So how much time do we actually feel that we're immersed in nature, immersed in her gifts? And it has been seen, you know, over a long period of time that people who garden, put their hands in the earth, spend time with nature, are actually said to be happier than those who don't. It's just kind of a subjective viewpoint. But it's said that even if you hold moist soil from the earth for 20 minutes, the chemistry from the bacteria and from the nutritional qualities within that earth start to influence your moods. You know, the article talked about that there are natural antidepressants just by in holding that soil. And it reminded me of the Anastasia books that spoke from, I think she was from Siberia. And these stories said how important it is for us to spend time in our gardens or our forests or wherever we've got a backyard, because when we touch the plants, and even better when we actually put our bare feet on the ground, the plants themselves can detect our healing needs. What do we need to bring us back to health? And the story goes, and I like this idea, that you'll actually see different colors of plants thriving in your garden, because it's those plants that particularly are going to influence your well-being. This, of course, was the theories of Dr. Edward Bach, who went out into the forest, the Bach Flower Remedies, saying, I know that whatever mood I'm in, and he would take on a different mood, that nature can heal me. And I think this is so true. I remember someone else speaking about St. John's Wort, which we all know is a great natural antidepressant. But the more depressed people are, the more St. John's Wort that seems to grow in that area. So nature is constantly communicating with our DNA, our proteins, our subatomic particles, and saying, what does this person need? Perhaps I can provide it for you. So this relationship with nature, who is truly trying to help us, just as I always say, our body is our greatest friend. It's not there to punish us. It's there to say, okay, maybe we need to take a different path. But also nature will help us in the same way. And so what they found was that any way in which we can get out into nature, even if it's just for 20 minutes for a walk, particularly putting your feet on the earth. So again, trying to get into a place where it's not concrete. And I always say walking on that grass that I think, you know, the creator spread around the planet to say, walk on me. I can never understand why grass has got messages saying, don't walk on me. I think we were meant to walk on this beautiful grass as a way of rooting ourselves, grounding ourselves, connecting with the green power of nature, green bringing us balance and peace. I mean, who doesn't feel better when you're around greenery? And in the days when I used to be in the hospitals where people would bring flowers in for someone or plants, this we know this improved their well-being. We know that if people could look out on greenery, they recovered twice as quickly as those who were staring at a white wall. Of course, then what happened? Everybody said, oh, it's so unhealthy to have greenery or plants. Don't bring them. And of course, people just got sicker. So understanding our relationship, and I always think in a hospital setting, if you're someone who is surrounded by greenery or you love your garden, and then suddenly you're put in this white sterile container, no wonder you get sick, because you're understanding the importance. So there are obviously animal-assisted nature ways of being, horses especially, wilderness treks, and they've shown that if you take people who normally are very busy, and you say for 3 days, you're not going to have your phones, you're not going to have any contact on the internet and internet at all, that after 3 days, their whole physiology, their mental state changes, become less anxious, less depressed, more calm, blood pressure is better, glucose is better. And they actually start to see things from a larger perspective. And I think that's the truth. So they've shown that the piece of our frontal lobe that gets very activated and then ruminates on problems quietens down when we're out in nature. Whereas if we just take a walk around the block on concrete, we still keep ruminating. Does that make sense? I know myself, I have to remind myself to let go of my thoughts as I'm starting to climb the mountains. Sometimes I need to for my breath. But the fact of the matter is, it's actually the more we expand our awareness through going into nature, being amongst trees, being about something that's bigger than us, going out into the stars, looking out into the stars, I should say, it actually quietens down our little brain. And our larger brain says, ah, now we can see the bigger picture. So they've seen this 3 days is important. They've seen that when we concentrate and put our hands into the soil, it's important. When we're not listening to something as we're walking along. Yes, it's wonderful to go hiking or biking, whatever, but remembering that it's not about achievement, it's about the sensory experience. Are we hearing the birds? Are we smelling the air? Are we feeling the earth under our feet? And they found that even doing this, if you cannot get out into nature for whatever reason, but having the sounds of nature or pictures of nature also lowers the blood pressure, calms us down. And I think we've all had those experiences. But what it does, it's both rooting us, but also expanding our consciousness, extending who we are. So that's the first part of this podcast, which is spend time in nature. Take out those earbuds or whatever it is. Perhaps even don't go out talking with someone. But be very conscious of myself on this earth and allow the earth to rise up to meet you, to enter into you through your olfactory organs or through your eyes. What am I sensing? What am I seeing? What am I smelling? What am I touching? And this takes me to the second part of this podcast, which is all about earthing. And some of you may know about earthing, but it was discovered that, again, because of changes to our environment, we're less and less earthed into Mother Earth. Now, because of atmospheric changes, there are always these free electrons, negative electrons, on the surface of Mother Earth. And what happens when we're both indoors, especially around a lot of electrical equipment, we find ourselves getting clogged up with free radicals, but positive ones that actually positive as in positive electronically, but they don't actually help us. They start to depress us. So we again become more anxious, blood pressure goes up, other things happen. And that when we actually put our feet, especially our bare feet, on the earth, these negative electrons are able to rise up through our body and neutralize these positive electrons that are around the body, or positive particles that we've collected through our environment. So the neutralization of those free radicals is really important. And there's an abundance of these negative ions in the earth, on the surface of the earth. So the more we walk on the earth, and as you've heard me speak about rooting ourselves into Mother Earth, so it's not just being on the surface, but the more that we can send our roots into that first layers of Mother Earth, and then bring that energy up, the more we find healing and balance in ourselves. Now, this was particularly pertinent to me recently, where I'd hurt my plantar fasciata on my foot. And I reminded myself of that I do have some earthing bands that I can wrap around my feet. And I thought to myself, well, you know, I consider myself well-rooted, but over the past maybe week or two, maybe because of the eclipse, I'd found myself being very busy in my head and actually finding it more difficult to root. I found my sleep was disturbed. And it really was reminding myself of the work of people like James Oshman, who I knew in the past and very much admired, Stephen Sinatra, other people who had done this wonderful study, I think back in probably about 2011, where they had used different methods to say, how do we earth people? How do we help them to connect to these electrons on the surface of the earth? And what they talked about that was up to in the early days, years ago, people did walk on the earth, sometimes without shoes on. But even if they had shoes on, the shoes were of a natural animal fur or leather. And it was only apparently in about the 1950s and 60s that we started to wear plastic shoes. And then we used to also, before those times, sleep nearer the earth. Many times we would sleep on the ground, or we'd sleep on furs of an animal. But now we're up off the ground and walking with plastic shoes, and we're not being earthed at all. And what James Oshman showed, with many others of his colleagues, that just by spending even 20 minutes with your feet on the earth, again, preferably without shoes on, or with one of these earthing devices, you were able to ground yourself much more easily. And huge changes in sleep patterns. People slept much more able to sleep, where about 50% of the population seemed to have difficulty sleeping or wake a lot or have sleep apnea. Anxiety decreased. Heart variability was better. Blood pressure went down. Glucose went down. So there were so many improvements. And what this study showed is that nowadays we're less bothered by infection, despite what recently happened, but more by inflammation. And that inflammation may occur as an autoimmune or an immune disturbance, if you want to call it that. So we're now seeing that heart disease is really an inflammation of those blood vessels. Obviously, so many things in the gut are inflammation. So how we calm down that inflammation is to getting rid of all of these free radicals that we're picking up all the time from our atmosphere, especially from our electronics. So what did they advise? As I say, spending time without shoes on, if you can, on the earth, rooting yourself. But as I found, it does involve us really letting go, relaxing. And although I'm not greatly into devices, I did find this earthing device useful because I could feel myself calming down. So you may wish to look at that. And again, I'm not selling anything, but I think they're well worth looking at to see how they can help you if you have any sleep problems, anxiety problems, or inflammatory problems. Certainly, my foot has felt much better since I've been using the devices. So getting out into nature, wherever you can, being with the natural world, whether it's plants or rocks or animals, really important. Walking your dog, and perhaps making less excuses that it's all about the weather. I can't go out because I've been to many places all around the world, and weather is very variable wherever I've been. I remind myself of a friend I have who lives in Norway. She used to live just south of the Arctic Circle and then went north of the Arctic Circle. And years ago, I went to visit her in the heart of winter. And I thought, oh, good, now we're going to settle down and go around the fire and because it's minus 20 outside. And she said, oh, right, let's go out. And it was like, what? This would not be a time I'd go out. But she said, unless we go out as Norwegians, we would not survive. And so they had everything set up for sports and skiing and other events. And we wrapped the children up in these wonderful furry toboggans and off we went. So I think that we sometimes say, oh, I can't do it because of weather. But when push comes to shove, it's well worth finding any way you can to be amongst nature. Umbrellas, coats, boots, whatever you need. So the final part of this, and I hope I'm inspiring you, or perhaps one more part I want to put in before I say the final part, is about water. And I talked about water before and the importance of it within our body. And wherever I'm reading, whether it's about rooting or grounding or earthing, whether it's about being out in nature, water keeps coming up in these arenas, listening to water, putting your feet in water, paddling along if you can go to a seashore. All of these are important. And I feel that making sure we are hydrated is essential for our process. It seems to be that when we dry out, we can't move these electrons. We can't change our electricity. So water is the transmitter, the information carrier for all these changes. And as I spoke about before, the more you can drink water that is moving, spinning even like a water tumbling over stones, the better it is for you. And again, without me selling anything, I have just bought a simple tube where there are stones inside, and when I pour water in one end, it comes out the others, but it's been churned just as it would do in nature. I will put a link on the YouTube and my website about these products, but again, I have no investor into this. And I feel that we've forgotten just these important things. And it reminds me also of when I was probably a young medical student, and I would go to the big mental hospitals, which many of which have now shut down. But the patients themselves were outside. They were perhaps digging the gardens or they were working with the animals. It was really a farm and they worked in those farms. And at that point, yes, they were using drugs, psychotic drugs, but they were very low levels. As soon as someone said, oh, you're exploiting the patients by asking them to work in the farms, and everybody was put inside and in wards, the need for drugs went up dramatically. And I remember taking several schizophrenic patients out with me into the forests, and they said, we've never been in forests before. We were brought up in a town. We've never been amongst animals. And as we took them out on a regular basis, their need for drugs reduced. So I feel that we have a crisis where there are so many young people now spending so much time inside, maybe on games, And just being in something that's larger than them, into nature, really will bring peace. So my last piece is about climate change. And I was watching the movie called The Climate Movie. It's nice and easy, where many experts were talking, real down-to-earth experts on climate, and were telling me that what we are being told is not true. Now, you don't have to take my word for it. I would certainly suggest looking at the movie. But what they were looking at was the various ways our climate, our weather, and again, climate and weather are not necessarily the same thing, but I just want to put those two together for this moment. But saying that if you look back 50 million years ago, the weather, the temperatures on this planet were much hotter than they are now. Indeed, during the time of the dinosaurs, which was even earlier than that, it was a very lush, green planet, as we understand. And what's actually happening is that we've become colder and colder since those times. So the plan or the maps we often are shown are very limited in their time scale. If you look at the big maps, we're talking about something very different. And when we look at those differences, it's saying that why we saw people who we always said were running around with loincloths on and fur, you know, so a few furs, well, it was warmer. And that's why. So if we come into a more recent time, so 20,000 years ago, there was an ice age, as you might know, and then things started to melt. And that melting wasn't due to human participation in this experience. This was due to something much larger. And that something much larger that they have looked at has both been galactic and solar. So every time the solar system, sun and us going around it, goes through one of the arms, the spiraling arms of the Milky Way, we see climate changes. The Earth heats up. And then as we come out of one of those spirals, it quietens down. But many of those who are talking about climate change don't want to go out into the sun or the galaxy. So they stay very local to saying, well, it must be humans. But this doesn't account, therefore, for the melting of the ice caps on Mars or the changes that are taking place in Uranus or Neptune or Pluto. All of these are having climate changes, weather changes. This is more due to how we at this moment are being bombarded, as you might know, by galactic dust is the best way of us describing it, plasmic dust. And that dust brings in an energy and tends to create clouds. So we're seeing more clouds, and more clouds mean a heating up, but not to the degree that we're being told. So letting go of the carbon dioxide, which I'll just talk about in a moment, carbon dioxide is 0.04% of all the gases that are in the atmosphere. The bigger one is water. Water is in the atmosphere. This is involved with clouds. And it's seen that solar flares, solar winds, and the way in which the sun interacts with these galactic photon sheets, these photon dust that's coming in, has got much more to do with the changes and always has done throughout 500 million years that has been seen to be appropriate. And how do they know this? Well, they certainly can read temperatures or what was going on through rocks, through trees, through ice core samples, through ocean samples. So the geologists can go really far back to find out what was going on with the temperatures at that time. And they speak about, if we're coming even more modern, that around the Roman time, and I was thinking about it, we saw them all running around with togas on, and they were clearly warm. So the Roman times were clearly warm, if we want to look at Britain, if I may say. And then it got colder, and we called that the Dark Ages. And then it got warmer again in what we call the medieval times. And then it got colder again, which was around the 1600s. And then it got warmer again. Now, when we're talking about variation, we're literally talking about 1 to 2 degrees variation, maybe even up to 5 degrees, but nothing compared with what the temperature was in the Earth millions of years ago, which was certainly 10 to 20 degrees warmer than it is now. So here we are now, we're coming into this particular time. And in this particular time, they were saying that up to in the 30s and 40s, 1940s, 30s, 40s, we had record temperatures. Nothing like we're having now. And they were describing different places. This film was describing different places in America, 120 degrees Fahrenheit, 130 degrees. And then in 1970s, we went into a mini ice age. So everybody in the 1970s were talking about, oh my goodness, we're going into an ice age. And I can remember that from my childhood. Maybe not my childhood, my young adulthood. The 70s were cold. And then from then, we have been increasing generally up to where we are now. But what you're seeing is this minor, relatively minor increase. And they're talking that we're actually in a glacial period between maximum and minimum. And we've had these ups and downs that I'm describing. But it's nothing compared with what we're being told. The Earth is heating up and we're all going to die. This has never been the case. And in fact, when we start to then look at what was going on at thousands of years ago, millions of years ago, it was a very lush, lush nature. So the last pieces here I'll say is, they then compared it with the carbon dioxide. As I say, carbon dioxide being a very small part of the gases that are making up this Earth. And they showed multiple times that there's always heating first, then carbon dioxide. It's often 10 years, 20 years after any heating that carbon dioxide will change. And it has never been the feature that says carbon dioxide causes this. And at 0.04% of the whole gases, it is not the major factor. Now, at the moment, they say that the carbon dioxide we have is about 400 parts per million parts. And when in previous times, it has been up to 2,000, if not 7,000 parts per million. And that was when there was a huge biodiversity and mammals were very rife and there was a lot of greenery. And what the scientists were saying that when we fall less, there was a time, not so long, well, some time ago, when there was a lot of glaciers. So when we're in these mini ice age, the carbon dioxide actually is very low and it went down to about 150 or maybe 180 parts per million. But they were saying if it goes down to 150 or less, we don't survive because there is no photosynthesis, no oxygen production, and we die. So the idea of reducing our carbon dioxide is madness if we want to survive. And the fact that we're focusing on humans is completely out of touch with reality. We actually need the plants and we need the temperature to help the plants create this photosynthetic process to produce the oxygen. And the last thing I'll say here is that they looked at the temperatures being measured and they spoke about the initial thermometers were placed on the edges of cities. And they said what's happened is all of those cities have now spread and those thermometers are now living in the middle of what they call an urban area, where actually these temperatures are mainly measuring concrete and human populations. So fine, humans do have a lot of heat that we give off, but it doesn't mean that the whole globe is warming up. And when they have looked at thermometers that were not in a city, nor were they just using thermometers that originally had been placed on the suburbs, but now in the middle of the city, they found there was very little temperature change. The same has happened in the waters. They've measured the oceans. They are not getting warmer. Their variabilities, Gulf Stream ability changes, but this is not the big issue. And they've also looked from a satellite, which of course has nothing to do with picking something up in one little place. Again, very little association there. But what has made difference is what happens to the sun and the sun's heat and winds and flares and the sun's relationship to the galaxy. And these photonic winds that are coming in at this time, carrying dust, are also a factor in some of the heating that they've seen over millions of years. So my friends, I'm going to leave you with that. I hope I've excited you as well as I hope not depressed you. But this is a time for us to connect to nature, enjoy the trees, enjoy the trees' production of oxygen, get out into nature, earth ourselves, and not get caught up in some of this, let's say, ideas that are really not a truth. We need to be eating from the earth. We need to be living with the earth. We need to be honoring our earth. And then we will have eternal sustenance on so many levels. Mind, body, and spirit. Until next time now. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the HeartSpeak Podcast with Dr. Christine Page. Please check out all HeartSpeak episodes in the podcast archive section on www.christinepage.com. HeartSpeak is also available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Tumblr, and now playing on Amazon Music and iHeartRadio. You can also watch the archive podcast on Christine's channel on YouTube and now on Rumble. Connect with Christine on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook group, The Great Mother Calling. Do share with family, friends, colleagues. Join us next time for another edition of HeartSpeak.